What's up?
What is up?
Music producers.
Yeah. We're back.
We're back. We never left.
We're back like we never left.
What's up, Bishop Ray?
What's happening?
How are you?
Reverend.
We
Reverend of the Groove.
We got caught up into a situation last week where I did. We couldn't get a podcast shot. So
right.
But you know, we're here. We're back.
Yeah.
Back in studio.
Back in.
This episode, we're going to talk about the craft of songwriting. Try to give y'all some tips,
making that content, buddy.
Yep. We're trying to hook y'all up so that you be amazing songwriters. Put you on some game. You got to say it like slow.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, you got to say it so it's more exact. Like,
that's my favorite, impactful. Romanism? Yeah.
Everyone says that, right?
Got some Romanisms.
Yeah, get you a Romanism.
Hey, I didn't hear it until... Nah. I heard it a little bit.
Heard it somewhere, yeah.
But I like it how Roman says it.
Yeah.
So it's a Romanism.
I say it like everyone else. I'm going to fix your mic. Look, a little Bungie came off.
Come on, Bungie.
There we go. See how much better it sounds now? Exactly. Hopefully you all are doing good.
Yes.
I'm Rome. This is Ray.
Hey, hey.
We're music producers. Ray has 500 Grammys.
No, just three.
You know, someone told me that they knew you. They said your Grammys were on your floor at your house.
No.
On, Ray.
No, I haven't ordered them yet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They must have seen something solid.
Plus, I'm trying to become a join NARIS.
What is that?
The Academy.
Oh,
so I can be a voting member.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
That'd be cool.
Working on that right now.
Heck yeah. So vote for yourself.
That's right.
I got you.
Working on voting my projects.
Yeah. Multiple times.
Right.
So before we get in, we wanted to let you all know, we have Industry Standard Productions right there.
ISP.
It's a free course. If you're watching, forwardproducer.com/ISP. If you're not watching, go check it out. 7 steps to level up your music production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had this when I was young, it would be a totally different ballgame probably for me.
For sure.
Look, putting on some game from something else that's more impactful. So
lots
go check it out. Forwardproducer.com/ISP. Completely free. Go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We have industry news, Ray.
Industry news.
You're starting our own little sound sample library.
Exactly.
Industry news.
Hey, here's kind of what's happening. Just because you might have a TikTok hit doesn't guarantee success.
Oh.
Okay, that's what they're
finding. Why so?
They're calling it the age of the one-hit wonders. So for some reason or the other, even if you have something go viral or something great happen on TikTok, for some reason those artists aren't able to get that success over to the other platforms.
Mm.
You know, so the streaming numbers don't match. You have a lot on TikTok, but not necessarily on Spotify or Apple Music or those types of things. You know what I mean?
There's statistics that show that came out.
Absolutely. And also what they're saying is yes, you can definitely have a hit on TikTok, but what you really need to do and what we've talked a lot about on this podcast is keep putting out content.
Right.
Don't just stop with one song and then just milking that song. You need to, just because someone hears your song, even if it is viral, doesn't mean that you don't need the other song.
Everything else.
Yeah, all the other content, right? Mm-hmm. So you really need to put out other content because other people might like other songs. They may not like the one hit that you have.
Yep.
Right? A lot of people do because it's a hit, but you really need to keep putting out content no matter what.
Yeah, you're like limiting yourself if you only go TikTok and then you bust out a viral song and then you're not on Instagram or you're not on wherever else.
Yeah, and all the numbers and all the data is starting to really pick that up. Mm-hmm. It's like some folks just aren't able to migrate their success from TikTok over to the other channels.
Makes sense.
That's right.
You gotta have your Spotify up. You gotta have your Apple Music.
You gotta keep Amazon, and it's so cool that we're talking about writing today because like you just gotta keep writing.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's probably. They know the stats now because it's been long enough to be able to see all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You got plenty of people that have hits, and then it's like, well, what are they doing now?
Exactly.
Quicker than like 10 years, you know
right.
what I mean? Like
right.
You may look back at some people that had some big hits, and you're like, where are they now? And you're like, oh, this is interesting.
Right.
Oh, this and this and this happened, but some of these are probably like maybe a year or two.
Exactly. It's amazing.
So you better get your stuff in order if you're listening now.
That's right.
Post it out there, because if it goes viral, make sure you could get it.
Yep.
Whatever that's called, ride the wave.
Ride the wave.
Surf the wave.
Surfing.
So Ray has another thing for us. This is a studio fail.
Oh, yeah.
What's a studio fail? Which I'm sure
probably,
we could all relate.
I mean, it's only happened a couple times, but the most consistent fail I've had has been overriding compression. Right? So, like, you really need to think, like, whenever you're producing, really need to produce with the end in mind and then work backwards from there and just make sure, because there's so many layers, it's really like a cake. There's so many layers to it that one thing could, on layer, let's say five, could really affect layer 15.
Right.
And you won't even know it until you get there. Like, I was working on one project and, I don't know how it happened, because I had a great guy mix, I had a great guy master, and I had a great guy doing the engineering on the actual tracking. But for some reason, when I got to the end, the cymbals were distorted.
Mm.
Like whenever the drummer would hit a cymbal, it would be distorted on almost all the tracks.
It'd be all fizzy sounding.
And there was nothing I can do about it. Because no one heard anything really until I started to pick it up in the mixing process, and then it got worse in the mastering, and I mean to this day, and I'm not going to tell you what project it is.
Did it do good?
No. Well, it did. Okay. Yeah. Regionally, it did fine, but I guess nobody cares about distorted cymbals. But
hey, that's a sound. You know how rock and roll is with their distorted guitars.
Right? Exactly. And I know it was somewhere in the
tracking
process. Something got overly compressed. We didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Until the very end.
Yeah, I kind of thought it would be like if you're running a chain.
Uh huh.
If you're running into light compression, maybe your preamp is clipping a little bit, but then you don't see it because your signal's looking low going into your compressor.
Exactly.
But you can't really hear it, because maybe I like the track stuff almost mixed, because I'm a drummer, so I'll have the cymbals pretty low in like a tracking.
Oh,
mix.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because like, I don't know, I want to hear more toms and snare and kick.
Right.
So you may not notice it because you're tracking at the cymbals at a lower volume.
Right.
Like, yeah, this sounds good.
It was so weird, but that's a common, honestly, that's the one fail I'm looking for constantly, is making sure I'm not overdriving something, especially on vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be the worst, if you get to the mix stage and then you, oh my God, there's a little bit of distortion on that vocal because I pushed the mic pre.
Yeah.
I pushed the mic pre too hard, or maybe I pushed the mic too hard. Or maybe a mic pre going into the compressor.
Or maybe the vocalist just was on the wrong mic.
Right. I mean, it's just, I mean, that's the one thing that I get a bit paranoid about to this day in the studio.
So you only use SM7B is what you're saying. you'll never clip it.
Exactly. It's a pretty dynamic mic.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the one fail I'm constantly looking for, even to this day.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking with some buddies yesterday about it was a worship project that's like pretty big now. It's doing really well.
Uh-huh.
And a pretty big song. I'm not going to name drop because whatever.
Yeah.
But the song was actually out there, like viral, and it's the vocalist, the lead vocalist, their mic is distorted.
Oh.
Like on the top end. Not the whole time. It's whenever they get really
strong.
That's
kind of where you're going to hear it. Like once the final mix comes in, you're going to hear it
a
in that
sizzle on that.
That 7, 8, 9 K range.
Yeah.
Right in there. The little fizzles.
Yes, yeah, little.
And it's a little bit, what's the word? Like, it's deceptive, because you might think it's just literally like a little sheen, but it's actually distortion.
It's clipping, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that track, I mean,
like,
but
man.
But people don't care.
People don't care.
It's going out there. Us engineers care because, like, we want something good.
Right.
But, you know, I've tracked singers that on the wrong mic.
Yeah, yeah.
My preamp is good, but that mic is taking a beating from the volume they're putting out.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's why I said SM7B. It's like,
right.
I know if you're loud, I'll tech them when I'm setting gain. Like, all right, where you at?
Mm-hmm.
Sing what you're gonna sing. Okay, that's as loud as you're gonna get. Yeah. Okay, we're getting the 7B.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? Or 58 or whatever.
Yeah.
Something that could take a little more volume on the capsule.
Right. Right.
But yeah, that's a huge studio fail.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people could relate to that.
Yeah, especially when you really don't hear it to the you get to the mastering and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I literally just remember throwing up my hands going, well, we just got to put it out because I can't go back.
You're going to sample replace your cymbals? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but at that point, like, it's just too late.
Yeah. Lower them in the mix a little more.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever heard the cymbals are too quiet. I've always heard they're too much. I'm a fan of lower cymbals in the mix.
Yeah. Me. A lot of people are.
Yeah. The high frequency, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, with cymbals too, you never know, like, maybe the preamp is going bad. That could be with anything.
Yeah.
Maybe your preamp is just, it has too much character.
That's what I was, oh man, it's good. It just got character, bro.
You hit the
you hear that sizzle?
Yeah, you hear the analog thing.
Is that distortion?
It's character, Ray. It's character. Gosh. Subjective, like we said.
Yeah, for sure.
So the main talk, we are going to talk about songwriting.
Songwriting.
We're going to sample it. I found an app to do it, so.
Let's do it.
Maybe we'll get it.
For sure.
So the first thing we're going to talk about is capturing ideas fast.
Because
mm-hmm. you and I both know, and probably a lot of people out there too, if you get an idea and you just, I'll think about it later, you forget it.
Dude, the worst is when I'm kind of coming out of sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
And I hear something like real cool in my head. And it's like, but you're laying there. You don't want to get out of bed. Everything's nice and warm, right?
Yeah.
And you don't even want to reach over. And then you go, I'll remember this. I'm okay.
No, you're
and
not.
Then you go back to sleep for another 10 minutes. And then you wake up. You're like, oh, my God.
Yep.
That could have been the next big hit.
But now we all have smartphones.
That's right.
They all have voice recording to some extent. Well, the iPhone has voice memo. I don't know what Android has.
I'm sure it does.
They probably have something.
Yeah. Yeah. All of them have cameras and a microphone.
Or you wanted to get the super duper easy way.
Yeah.
All of them have cameras, so just...
I can see me laying in bed.
Lay in bed, put the camera so you don't see yourself. I'll film yourself. You could do that. You don't have an excuse, right? No excuse. So capture the idea fast.
Yeah.
So you can reference it later. Maybe you're doing a songwriting session or you're just writing your own stuff. You can just pull up your notes.
There you go.
Like I have a ton of notes on there. And on the iPhone, you could title them. So you could title whatever idea, inspiration, blah, blah, blah.
So are you... All right, so there's kind of three areas in songwriting. One is like chords and arranging. Two is melody, three lyrics. Like, what's your strength?
Probably the first two.
Yeah, me too.
Probably about even.
Like, if I'm collaborating with, I like collaborating with lyricists.
Yeah, me too.
Folks that are great with lyrics. That's kind of my
mind. I mean, now we don't have an excuse. We have ChatGPT. You don't need anyone, Ray. Doesn't have the human.
I tried that. I said, write a song about, like, then put a couple things, and it was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But hey, I was like, this is a starting point. Starting point.
Yeah, they got the newer version of GPT out. That's going to be.
Have you checked it out?
Nah. Okay. I don't mess with that much. Yeah, capture idea fast, which that what we're talking about leads to the next thing. Start with melody and progression / riff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's probably. Most catchy thing.
Yeah, I just personally, they're almost like together for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm at the piano, because I play the piano, and I'm going through some chord progressions, I instantly start hearing a melody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I don't know what came first, chicken or the egg there, but when I start going through, or, hearing a riff, like you were saying, I automatically just start hearing melodies on top.
You know the chicken was first, right?
Really?
There's been scientific proof. This is such a rabbit trail. Oh, well. They found chemicals in the egg that can only be provided from a chicken. Boom.
Interesting. We need to post that.
Okay, first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken came first.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken.
Yeah.
Scientifically proven.
Yeah, because there's stuff inside the egg that cannot be made from anywhere else other than an actual chicken.
All right. Well, there it is. You heard it here, folks.
You heard it here probably first.
We brought you the
answers. I could
be
wrong. I'm pretty sure it's right.
Give me the eggs,
dude. Yeah, I'm a fan of going Melody first.
Yep.
Because I don't know. I don't think people think of music in lyrics only. Like, there has to be some form of melody that goes around. No one's thinking, like, just a typewriter sound, monotone.
Right.
Ba 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 ba. They think.
Right. And I will say, when I'm just kind of floating around, either out and about or, like either going to bed or starting to wake up, it's most definitely always, almost always, melodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm about the same too.
Almost always melodies.
I could bust out a melody out of nothing easily, but lyrics I have to really think about.
Oh yeah, lyrics are tough for me.
So maybe you have someone that you compliment what you're doing and find someone that's great at lyrics. Do a little collab.
Yeah.
Yeah, so start with melody, progression too, which mm-hmm. is kind of like a melody, but with chords.
Yep.
And a riff.
A riff.
Like, you got a bunch of great songs out there with riffs. Was that Thriller?
I don't know.
That was Beat It.
That was close. We might get copyright struck. I don't know.
Yeah, no copyright. I sang it in C. It's actually an A, so it will be fine. No, just kidding. I don't know. Yeah, riffs, that's a good way to start, especially if you're a musician.
Yep.
I mean, you could hum a riff out, but if you actually play it, then you could tweak it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like on guitar, if I'll hear a riff, I'll play it just straight, no little swag to the notes or nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh, maybe if I just bend right here.
Right.
Oh, that's cool. On the keyboard, you're like, maybe I'll just do the little pitch wheel.
Right. And then you're like, ooh.
Ooh, that actually is good. And then you switch the sound to the synthesizer right. instead of piano.
Right.
And then it's over. Right. Then you're lost 2 hours later. I'm sure yep. a lot of you can relate.
Exactly. Talk about a fail.
Right. And then the next one we have is write your lyrics to your melody, uh-huh. which we kind of already talked about as well.
Right.
But I've known plenty of people, I do myself as well, as I'll scat over a melody if I'm writing lyrics to it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, ba, 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 ba.
Right.
Like, say the melody's playing a progression.
Yeah.
I'll scat on top of it, and then I'll write the lyrics to that scat.
To that scat?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And like, especially, like, I'm a fan of metal stuff, so a lot of the metal guys that don't want to just scream random words, they'll do the same thing. They'll figure out where the placement is, and then they'll write the lyrics to fit in what they were doing.
Interesting.
I'm sure there's different ways too, but that's
like, I gotta be honest, like I haven't, because I just rather write with someone that's got that a really good lyricist, I haven't actually given too much thought to like how I would even go about writing lyrics. And that actually makes a lot of sense. That might make too what, like, but how do you come up with what to say? Of course, I know it's storytelling mm-hmm. at the end of the day, but you just make whatever story it is fit the melody you created?
I would.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, there's some like.
That's interesting.
Like, some people have the lyrics already done and they already have what they're singing.
Right.
And then you just got to go in and write underneath them and compliment what they're doing.
Right.
But if it's something that it's, you're writing a song from scratch and they're like, okay, yeah, send me something that music wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll do progression. I'll do the whole map. And then sometimes I'll even write in what melody I'm hearing for the verse.
Right.
And write it in with the synthesizer.
Right.
Or the chorus. And then, but you know, if you're working with someone, don't be a jerk about saying you're just so married to that thing.
Yeah.
I'll just tell them, like, this is an idea I have. If you want to change it, go ahead. Here's it without that idea on top of it.
Right.
See what you could do.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's
cool.
How I would do it.
That's
teach really their cool. own, I guess.
That's
gotta
right.
Do, you got to do what works. And this is two guys talking that aren't really into lyric writing. So
right, exactly.
Maybe we could get someone that's a lyricist to come on and
yep.
just let us put us on some game.
Some lyricist game.
Some lyric game. Next one we talk about is collaborating.
Collaborate.
I'll let
Stop.
You get on that one.
Collaborate and listen.
Copyright.
So,
again.
Like we've already been talking about a little bit, like collaborating is just hugely important. Like I said, there's like I look at songwriting in three ways: the arrangement, the chords, riffs, the actual melodies, and then the lyrics. So, typically, you're going to be competent. Like some people are competent in all three. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of applaud those guys. But I would think that a lot of us aren't. So
they probably worked hard to get to that point.
If you're going to collaborate, and you definitely should, especially if you're not competent in all three, make sure that you're strategically looking for someone that will complement your strengths.
Right.
Right. So, you know, like I was saying before, I like to get with people that are strong at lyrics.
Right.
And also at some melodies, and then together. Like, I've had the most success with songwriting when I've been with lyricists, obviously.
Right.
So that's what be strategic. Don't just kind of willy-nilly collaborate. Just make sure that, you know, when you're booking it or talking to that other person, that they do the opposite of what you do. And right. then you'll have a lot more success with it.
And we talked about before, too, is trying to connect with people that, like, you're familiar with.
Yeah.
You kind of know what kind of vibe they're doing, what their character is.
Yeah.
That way, you know, maybe down the road. Because we talked about, like, sometimes you said publishers will set up a writing session.
For sure.
And, like, you never met the people.
Right.
And that works.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if it's up to you, if you're independent, I guess, you know, like, a lot of independent artists.
Yeah.
You want to work with people that you kind of... fill them out a little bit.
Yeah,
and
that you
out
know.
That they're cool.
Right, that you're comfortable, right.
Yes.
Hey, and just to let y'all know, so, you know, there's definitely a lot of very hugely successful songwriters out there that don't do one of the three. Like Elton John,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't write any of his own lyrics.
Mm.
Like I think his famous...
Rocket Man?
Yeah, Rocket Man was not his lyric at all.
Sheesh.
I forgot.
Made go.
Hey, if you guys know that songwriter that wrote with, we could probably look it up on Wikipedia.
Okay. We don't have time.
I think his first name is Bernie or something like that. It starts with a B. Anyway, let us know if you know. Yeah, man, it can be hugely, collaborations can be hugely successful.
Yep.
I mean,
they have been.
I mean, I did some writing with Michael Levy Smith. You know, he's a Christian artist. Michael doesn't do a lot of his own lyrics. Like he especially back in the day, he worked with this guy named Wayne Kirkpatrick.
Right.
Wayne did almost all of his lyrics.
Mm.
And then they made hugely successful songs. So
yeah,
collaboration can be big.
Yeah, for sure. And I would recommend... coming up at the beginning when you're collaborating, uh-huh. unless it's like the publisher side, they probably handle that sort of stuff that I'm about to talk about.
Yeah.
But decide what your splits are.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if you're the musician.
At the meeting. Yeah. I mean, at the write.
Before you write.
Yeah.
Unless you're super cool with the person, you've worked with them, you already know, okay, we're 50-50 or we're 33-33-33 or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly.
But make sure you get that taken care of, because if the song does go viral... and you don't have that taken care of, and so-and-so is the one that released it.
Exactly.
You're going to have to be doing some work.
And then I try to, as soon as possible, register it with ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC.
Yeah, and that's super easy, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a fan of SongTrust.
Mm-hmm.
Been using them for a long time. They've been great. Like, registering is super easy on SongTrust.
Yeah.
You literally click the song that you pulled up on a Spotify database.
Uh-huh.
Is this your song? Yes. Boom. Registered.
Ah, that's
so it's like,
cool.
Wow, that's cool. You know, you don't have to put the SRC or ISRC, nothing
oh,
like that.
Right.
It automatically
yeah, yeah.
does it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's great. Collaborating, get that stuff taken care of before.
Mm-hmm.
And then second to last is play live and tweak
yeah.
from there. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, like if this was a business, typically what a business would do is create its they call it an MVP, minimal viable product. And then put it out in the market
mm-hmm.
so that it will get feedback.
Little beta group.
That's right. And so for us as songwriters, producers, you know, the equivalent of that is playing live.
Mm-hmm.
So play your songs like so even if you only have like a verse and a chorus and you do like an acoustic version of it, just figure out if they like it, if it touched people, if people are crying, if people are like
mm-hmm.
hooping and hollering. Then
flipping you off.
That's right. No. I hate that though. Throwing stuff at you.
Yeah.
You know, but either like it's the songwriting equivalent to getting customer feedback.
Right.
When you play live. And that can be invaluable.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I've known some bands that like they'll write a whole record and then go tour it.
See the response.
And see the response, and then those are the ones that get put on the record.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but
And it's risky. It's like these fans don't know these songs, but you have to throw in your bangers in there too.
That's exactly. Enough. And that's what you do. Kind of tease it in and out. And then, you know, check out the response over time. And then that's what you record.
Yeah. And some practical ways too, because there's, if we're talking to like newer artists, they'll probably not be able to get booked at a bar or at a restaurant or a venue. But you have your iPhone or your smartphone. I don't even mention the other one, but you have an iPhone and you could go live on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. You could do a little Zoom meeting and say, hey, which I think that's in our Drip Hustle stuff. We talked about like a private VIP live session.
Yeah.
You have a mailing list, say, hey, I'm going to do a live performance. Click the link. It'll be at this time. Boom.
And then while they're listening to it live, they'll put the heart emojis, the fire emojis, they'll give you live feedback, right? Actually, that's probably a bit more accurate than a live performance in front of an audience.
Yeah. Because you can tell them before too.
This chorus sucks. Yeah.
You could tell them like what maybe an idea would be to like have your main hardcore fans and say, I'm going to do some new music live here. Yeah. Here's the link. It's only going to be exclusive to you. And then afterwards, we'd like to get like a little feedback, a little survey about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's super easy to do. Google Forms, you can make it in no time, send them the link, and you'll get feedback. You could do it anonymous. You can have them put their name.
That's a good idea.
You get some feedback. And you could do a little live thing in your house.
Absolutely.
I mean, as long as you're not doing drums, maybe. It'll be loud.
But yeah, like an acoustic or a piano with some speakers. I mean, it's just...
And or if you do an EDM, you can play your tracks to it.
Oh, and by the way, TikTok, just to let you know, TikTok is trying to get more live sessions going in the United States. It's actually bigger outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. So if you do live performances on TikTok, they'll push it more. The algorithm will push it out to more people.
We need to do that. Yes. Me and you will go live.
Yeah, we do.
Keys and guitar only. We need a lyricist.
Ting, 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 ting.
Yeah, and then after you go live, tweak it.
That's right.
Go live a couple more times before you decide to record it and put it
out. Hey, guys, I did this last week. You guys liked it, but said that it had a few tweaks.
Let me know.
Let's do it again.
We changed the key.
That's right.
We changed the key. Blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Yep. And then tweak it from there.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing it pretty soon.
Well, let's do it.
With some other artists, probably.
Come on.
Then lastly, we talk about write more.
You got to write more.
Work the muscle.
The more you write, folks, the more you write.
Right.
And like I've said on this podcast before, songwriting truly is a numbers game. And like I quoted that guy, Desmond Child, he's got, I think, 10 number ones or something like that, or maybe like 15 top tens.
Mm-hmm.
But he's written 14,000 songs.
Sheesh.
14,000 songs.
Yeah, and a big thing too is like when you release the song.
Yep.
It could be a smash hit.
Exactly.
Right off release.
Yep.
You never know.
Yep.
And you and I both know there's some songs out there that went viral.
Yep.
That aren't my cup of tea at all.
Right.
I don't think it should have ever done it.
Right, but it did.
But it did.
It's just about finding your audience.
Yeah,
and you have to keep putting out, keep writing, and keep recording, and keep putting it out.
And if that artist never put it out,
right,
I feel like, I don't know if it's good enough.
Right.
They never did a structure of getting feedback.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the TikTok thing is kind of starting to prove that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You kind of need a library.
You need a library.
Like, it may not be the best thing to just release one and it go viral, and it's like, oh, man, I got to do a follow-up.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have maybe a couple, maybe an album,
and
then you release a single after that and that one goes viral, they already have the album that they could go back and check out. But yeah, keep writing, write more, work the muscle as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get better just by doing nothing.
That's right. You got to keep going.
So make it work.
Keep going.
So I have a story.
Do it.
It is about a company known as Harley Benton. Well, I think it's Thomann is the company, and Harley Benton is the brand or the models of guitars.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of them as a guitar player. They're like solid guitars.
Yeah.
I probably had two or three.
Oh, cool.
And I'm pretty set on one now. I'm playing more bass guitar.
Are they acoustic? Oh, okay. So it's the bass, acoustic, and electric?
Yeah, electric. and bass.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank now exactly what models. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So anyways, I recently purchased a bass that had active electronics where, ooh, it's like a battery power. But for some reason, it would buzz whenever it was in the noise-canceling position.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what the heck? So I took it to a guitar buddy of mine, and he was like, oh, yeah, it has like a circuit board, super small to work on.
Yeah?
So I was like, oh, gosh, this is not good. Like, and they're in Germany.
Oh, so that's Spadania.
Yeah. shipping cost is a little bit, like, yeah. Now I think it's $80 for a guitar. It used to be 60.
That ain't too bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad. And the guitars are pretty cheap. It's like the one I have is pretty good. It's like $300.
Okay, yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to ship it back. So I contacted them, and they wanted to know, like, who worked on it and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, it's really just a quality issue of like a couple of cables that were not wired correctly, which I'm pretty handy, which I was able to, because I didn't want to ship it back. So I was like, let me do some research.
So you fixed your own brand new guitar?
Yeah. So the whole moral behind this story is that Harley Benton is solid, but the quality control ain't really all the way up.
Right.
So you may need to take it to a guitar shop, or you may need to learn how to solder.
Right.
Just a couple little things. Because you can't go into, like, Guitar Center, you go in there, you can play the piano.
Yeah.
Just make sure all the buttons, you could go into playing the guitar.
Right.
Yeah, this is the one I want. Or this isn't the white one, you have it in red. Like,
especially
yeah,
if it's totally coming all the way from Germany.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So I kind of was in a rock and a hard place, is that what they say?
Right. You kind of took it on faith.
So I'm pretty, I had to buy it on faith now.
Buy it on faith.
Well, I'm pretty handy with guitars, though. Like, I've built guitars and stuff.
Oh, well, good.
But it was a brand new guitar. Like, I don't always buy brand new guitars. I usually buy used.
Busting it open.
Yeah, and I was like, this thing's not working right. What the heck? So,
right.
If you're going to go that route,
yep,
check it out.
That's a good story.
Which, side note, is I bought some cheap mics off of Amazon.
Yeah.
And they're 57 clones.
Yeah.
And they buzzed.
Ooh.
But online it said, if you flip this cable and do this, they won't buzz. I was like, sweet. So I flipped them, and I was like, okay, they work.
Well, there you go.
But those mics only look like 57s. They sounded like something else. They didn't sound terrible. They just had a different.
Right.
It wasn't a 57.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Go.
Yeah, that's my story.
Go.
But before we jump off, I want to let you all know, forwardproducer.com/ISP.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Industry Standard Productions. Our free gift to you.
Yes.
Hopefully it helps you out. And make sure you like, share,
subscribe,
comment, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
That will help us out a ton.
Let us know.
Rate us on all the podcast platforms.
Uh-huh.
It would mean a lot. If y'all have any feedback as well, any topics you want to hear us cover, any guests you want to see come on.
That's right.
Maybe if y'all are lucky enough, Ray may have a special guest for us.
Yes.
Very soon.
Yes. Absolutely.
It'll be very valuable content.
Boom, boom, boom.
Help put you all on some next level game.
Next level game. Boom.
Boom. But thank you all for tuning in.
Yep.
We'll see y'all next time. Peace out.
Peace.